Welcome to the Happily Hormonal podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, you're in the right place. My name is Leisha Drews, registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner turned holistic hormone coach. And after going through my own hormone journey and having my three babies, I actually believe that our hormones are one of the greatest gifts that we've been given as women, and that no matter what you've been told, it's possible for you to have thriving energy, good periods, and a stable mood all month long. And I am here to show you the way. I think it's time to change the narrative around words like hormones and hormonal and start to reclaim the power that we truly have as women, which is the power to change not only our own health, but the health of all of our family for generations to come. Hormone balance doesn't have to feel hard. It can actually feel simple and fun when we do it in a way that aligns with how our bodies were made. If you're ready to start trusting your body again and feeling really good in that beautiful body that you've been given, then grab yourself a yummy drink and maybe a snack and let's do this. So when we're talking about hormone balance, I'm always asking why and looking for some of the other underlying causes of hormone imbalance. And so gut health is one that I want to talk about today. And gut health is so important when it comes to literally everything in your body, but especially energy, especially periods and detoxification and mood symptoms as well. And so to have really good energy and stable mood and good periods, your gut needs to be at least somewhat in order. And so when I have someone telling me about their hormone symptoms, I'm always curious what's going on beneath the surface in the gut to start and then kind of spread to the other organs as well. So when we start talking about the gut, I love to start with digestion and how digestion is supposed to work. And as I'm having this conversation, I would love for you to be thinking about your habits around digestion and the things that are going on when you're eating a lot of the time and how you're chewing your food, all the things as I'm talking about it, and see which pieces are missing for you, because even these pieces are so foundational in gut health. And so ideally, our bodies are created that when we are around food, when we are preparing food or food is being prepared for us, and we're smelling those smells, we're paying attention, seeing the food, thinking that it looks good, our bodies are able to start the digestion process right then before anything even enters our mouth. And so when you smell that food, your body will start to produce more saliva. And there are salivary enzymes inside of your saliva in your mouth that are getting ready to break down that food when it goes into your mouth. And so when you have the food, when you're about to eat, just looking at your food and thinking about that you're ready to enjoy it, paying attention to the fact that you're about to eat actually starts that digestive process. And then once you take your first bite, when you are chewing your food well, at least 20 times per bite of food, you are going to be really breaking that food down into super small pieces and even more of like almost a liquid. And those salivary enzymes are going to be completely coating your food, which means that it will be off to a really good start to be broken down into the micronutrients that your body needs and to be absorbed really well into your body. So the chewing process is very, very foundational in digestion and in having good gut health. After that food is chewed, it goes down your esophagus to your stomach. And your stomach should be ready for that food with a good, healthy dose of stomach acid. And stomach acid is really, really important in continuing to break down the food. And it's also really important in being able to kill anything on that food that isn't supposed to be in your body. So specifically bacteria, parasites, things like that. Your stomach acid is supposed to be as strong as battery acid, and you're supposed to have a good amount of it. And it can really do a wonder on breaking down your food. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us actually have low stomach acid, which can happen for a variety of reasons, but some of them are because you can have certain bacteria that cause a reduction of stomach acid. It can also be because you don't have enough sodium. And when you have a lower amount of sodium, it's harder for your body to make stomach acid. And then in the inverse as well, when you don't have enough stomach acid, it's really easy for you to not have enough sodium and potassium and to not be using those minerals very well. And so it really is important to realize that each of these things is kind of dependent on each other. But not having enough stomach acid can also be a sign of stress in the body and can just be one of the things that shows up when there is dysfunction in the GI system. And when we don't have enough stomach acid, then it means that your stomach acid is not doing all of the good things I mentioned, like breaking down your food even further and getting it ready to go into your intestines. And it's not killing off that bacteria and the parasites and those type of things. So low stomach acid, it is really common to see slow digestion in general and food sitting in your gut longer or just not being absorbed as well. And then it's also common to see bacterial overgrowth in the small or large intestine. And a lot of times it has a very similar bacteria to your mouth bacteria if you don't have enough stomach acid. So that's just something that I'll go into here in a little bit. But I wanted to mention stomach acid is really, really important, not only just to break down your food, but for many other processes as well. And then once your food is done in your stomach, it's been broken down really well by that stomach acid, it starts to move into the intestines and some enzymes from the pancreas are secreted into the small intestine to be able to start breaking down food. And your food is moved through all of your intestines with a motion called peristalsis, which is like a wave-like motion. And as it moves through, nutrients and water are absorbed out of your food and the waste products are the only thing that are left. The intestinal lining is something that is really interesting to mention as well in the way that food gets absorbed. So the intestinal lining between the inside of your gut and your bloodstream is only one cell layer thick. Now, this cell layer is very back and forth. There's a lot of projections in the cell layer that are called villi and microvilli. So basically, it's kind of like folded up on itself over and over again. But with that being said, it truly is a single cell layer between the place that your food is in your intestines and your bloodstream where you're going to be absorbing nutrients. So with that being said, this lining can be very sensitive and can be very prone to inflammation, basically, or when it has inflammation, it really is a big problem because this is where your nutrients are absorbed. And so this one single cell layer, if you kind of picture, go back to high school biology and think about what a little layer of cells looks like. And this cell layer it's supposed to have really tight junctions, which means that there's not room between the cells for things to come through. So they're super tight. The nutrients are absorbed through the cell and into your bloodstream. Now, with that being said, when there is inflammation in your gut lining, which can be the case from lots of different causes, but inflammation in the gut lining can come from bacterial overgrowth. It can come from toxins in the environment. It can come from parasites. It can come from stress on the body, and it can come from pharmaceuticals and other chemicals that we put in our bodies. But when the gut lining starts to be compromised and when there starts to be more of a leaking between those cells, that's where we can see a lot of inflammation start to occur. And that inflammation in the gut doesn't just stay in the gut. It actually ends up causing inflammation in the rest of the body. And so one of the times that we see this is when there are food sensitivities or when there is reactivity to a lot of different things. And often that can come back to this picture of leaky gut and those intestinal cells being inflamed and not being as efficient in getting nutrients through to the bloodstream, or basically being too efficient. And there are slightly bigger particles getting through into the bloodstream that aren't supposed to be there. Then your body reacts with an inflammatory response that causes a more systemic inflammatory response. And we'll kind of talk about mast cells and mast cell activation and histamines as well, because those are all related to the gut too. So finishing out the digestive process, we are supposed to be having all of those nutrients come through our intestines, absorbing them well without a lot of inflammation, and then having regular bowel movements after the food moves all the way through our intestines. And so what this looks like for healthy digestion is that you would have 1 to 3, hopefully somewhere around 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day. This is formed stools. This is not diarrhea or constipation, and really not very much, if any, gas and bloating on the way. And so a lot of times having bloating even around your period or bloating in certain parts of your cycle is kind of considered normal. But really overall, we should be having adequate digestion without pain, without gas, bloating, or any irregularities in stool. And so if those things are not happening, or if you're noticing, you know, some additional symptoms, then those are reasons to question if there is something going on more in your gut versus just with your hormones.
Hey, quick interruption. I wanted to let you know that I have some super special bonuses for you when you join Nourish Your Hormones through the end of the week through Sunday, April 14th. You can not only save $100 off of the new full price of Nourish Your Hormones, but you get access to two small group coaching calls with me as a new Nourish Your Hormones student. These are going to be very intimate. You are going to be able to get coaching with me face to face on exactly where you are with your hormones and what your specific next steps are. And then the next month we'll reassess and troubleshoot. So you're getting two personalized coaching calls with me, and I included access to the new Restored Mini Pod course so that you can start listening and balancing your blood sugar and your hormones on the go. I have gone behind the scenes and spent the last couple of months making this course completely updated, completely brand new and ready for you and better than ever, and broken my traditional Nourish Your Hormones method down into a simple six-step process that has symptom-specific protocols, two recipe guides, and you also get access to 6 months of monthly Q&A calls and a community for questions anytime. You are not doing this alone. You have the resources at your fingertips, and I cannot wait to see you inside. So you need to join before April 14th at the special link in the show notes to get all of these bonuses and $100 off, which means you are getting over $800 in value for less than $400.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the ways that this can go wrong in the body and some of the things that can be going wrong when there is gut dysfunction and when there is leaky gut or just slow digestion or bacterial overgrowth. So as always, I'm looking for the way that we can create the most safety in the body. And so when there is inflammation in the gut and you are not absorbing nutrients as well, that can affect your blood sugar. And blood sugar balance and mineral absorption both have a really big impact on stress on the body. So when there is inadequate absorption or even inadequate amounts of food coming in or imbalances of food coming in, then this is what can cause blood sugar dysregulation. And what I mean by blood sugar dysregulation is that you have probably some spikes of your blood sugar with meals and then drops of blood sugar that are not met by more food and that are met by a cortisol response in your body. And so when your blood sugar drops too low, you do have a true emergency response in your body and your cortisol spikes, and it tells your body to activate glucose from other cells in your body. And a lot of times we think that it would just break down fat cells and that would be a good thing. But the truth is you can be breaking down muscle cells. You can be breaking down some of your organs like your thymus when you have blood sugar dysregulation. And when you have this true emergency response in your body over and over again, it's just keeping you more in fight or flight. And so realizing that there is a component of this that is related to your gut and is related to the way that you are able to absorb foods is really important. And with that being said, being able to get whole foods, carbs, and protein together really consistently throughout the day is going to be the baseline of supporting your blood sugar and keeping things regulated when it comes to stress hormones. And so mineral absorption is really, really critical for all of your health because so many of the processes in our body require enzymes, and so many of those enzymes require minerals. And when I'm talking about minerals, I'm kind of talking about all of the minerals, but some of the main ones are calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. And all of those are needed for so many different body processes, like I mentioned, but some of them are thyroid function, for blood sugar regulation, not just, you know, something that seems a little bit less important. It's like the very, very vital things for our everyday function. And when we're not able to absorb our nutrients and our minerals as well, because our gut health is poor, that is going to impact stress on the body, which is going to impact hormones long term. And then I've mentioned bacterial overgrowth several times. So let's talk about that a little bit. There is supposed to be a level of bacteria in your gut. So bacteria in your gut is not a bad thing. You're supposed to have a good amount of your good bacteria. super beneficial flora. And a lot of those are categorized in different ways, but they can do things like they can help you break down your food better. They can actually create antioxidants in the body. They can help fight off bad bacteria and keep things balanced. And they can also secrete different things that help nourish your gut lining. So your good bacteria are really, really important for your immune system, for breaking down food, for so many different things. Now, unfortunately, it's really easy for those good bacteria to be depleted because of several things, but antibiotics are a big one. And when you think about antibiotics, it's easy to just think whether or not you've taken an antibiotic recently. And antibiotic use is definitely at a high, and that can be a big factor. And if you're someone who doesn't really take a lot of antibiotics, you kind of think you're good. It is also important to realize that there's antibiotics in a lot of our foods. And so antibiotics in a lot of our meats, if they're not organic, and there also can be antibiotics in even some of our dairy products and things like that, because those animals can be treated with antibiotics some of the time, depending on the way that they are being raised. So it's just important to realize that. And it's important to realize that there are a lot of chemicals in our environment that can damage good gut bacteria as well. And then things like hand sanitizer or constantly using antibacterial soaps, all of those things can actually deplete our gut bacteria, even though we're using them on our skin. So every single area in your body has a microbiome. Your skin has a microbiome, your mouth has a microbiome. And when those things start to get out of balance, they can play roles in the other microbiomes getting out of balance, basically. So oral health is another really important one for bacterial balance and one that can be kind of overlooked. So like I mentioned, your mouth has its own microbiome. And when the bacteria in your mouth are out of balance, or when there's not enough good bacteria, then things like plaque buildup can happen. And also you can have imbalance of your salivary enzymes. You could be not breaking down food as well in your mouth. But then especially, like I mentioned earlier, some of those bacteria can carry over and come down into your intestines, especially if you're not chewing food well, and especially if you don't have enough stomach acid. It's just really a breeding ground for those bacteria to come down into your intestines. And so it really is important to not only make sure that you're brushing and flossing and going to the dentist, but if you notice that you have a lot of plaque or that you're having gut symptoms, maybe even consider using a biofilm buster in your toothpaste. So one of those toothpastes that I know of is called Biocidin, but there are other options as well. So just thinking about, you know, if you notice some of these symptoms, or if you have bad breath or a lot of buildup on your tongue in the morning, even considering if you are mouth breathing, because mouth breathing can be a symptom and a cause of inflammation in the body as well. And it does have to do with your microbiome health as well, because when you are mouth breathing, your oral microbiome will be different than if you are breathing with your mouth closed and breathing through your nose. So just thinking about those things and realizing that they apply to your gut health as well is really important. But getting to actual bacterial overgrowth in the gut, when the stomach acid is low, when good bacteria is low, and when there's a lot of stress on the body, then those are times that bacterial overgrowth can occur. And there are literally millions of different bacteria that can overgrow in the gut. I'm not going to go into specific ones, but just having an idea that in your small intestine and your large intestine, it can happen that bacteria are going to be overgrown. And what that does is it can create even more inflammation in some circumstances. So some of those overgrowth bacteria can secrete something called endotoxins, and they are as bad as they sound. Endotoxins can cause not only inflammation in the gut lining, but they can cause inflammation in your body and even in your brain. When you have inflammation in your gut, there's a saying that's fire in the gut, fire in the brain. A lot of time it can cause neuroinflammation as well. And a lot of times you'll see that in symptoms like brain fog or difficulty thinking or memory. And your neurotransmitters, a lot of them are made in your gut as well. Neurotransmitters are those basically like happy chemicals or the chemicals that help keep your brain balanced with your mood. And so when you notice that there is something going on in your gut and you're also noticing mood changes, then a lot of times that does have to do with your neurotransmitters. And this can even affect your sleep. So there's just so much that is related to the gut. And when there's bacterial overgrowth or there's slow digestion or there's leaky gut and issues absorbing minerals, I think that you can hear me say it does so much more than just cause gas and bloating or just cause constipation or diarrhea. And so it really is something that's important to look into when we're looking into this whole picture of why does my body feel so stressed and why are my hormones so out of balance? Another piece that I haven't even mentioned yet with the gut is detoxification. And as you can imagine, the gut is a really big detox organ because things are going to be brought into the gut that maybe shouldn't be there in the first place. And especially things like pesticides. I know I've talked about antibiotics, but I haven't talked about pesticides. Glyphosate is one of the pesticides that is on so much of our food and can truly be toxic and can also be really inflammatory and degrading to the gut lining. So paying attention really closely to keeping your foods organic wherever possible or even growing your own really truly can make a difference in your gut function and your brain function and your hormones as well. One of the big culprits, I won't say the biggest necessarily, but one of the big culprits is traditional wheat. So I highly recommend using only organic wheat if you are eating wheat products because it can make a really big difference in the amount of glyphosate that you have in your body. But fruits and vegetables and really anything else produce-wise can be pretty covered in glyphosate as well. So just keeping an eye on that can make a difference. Parasites are also another factor in gut dysfunction, and they can be a bigger problem than we think. A lot of times, I think that it's easy to think that in a Western society where we're civilized and we wash our hands and we cook our meats well, that we wouldn't have parasites. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And parasites can cause a lot of inflammation and histamine reactions in the gut too. And so I think realizing that even if you've had a stool test, a lot of times stool tests can be missing parasites basically because the parasites often are not moving out. If your gut is a healthy, happy place for them, not for you necessarily, but for them, then they're not going to be leaving. And so when you're testing on a stool test, sometimes they don't show up. With that being said, that doesn't mean that every single person has a parasite. I think we just have to base that on symptoms. And there is some testing that can be a little bit more accurate, but I just wanted to mention that it can be a factor, and some signs that parasites can be there are things like having digestive issues in general, having like circles under your eyes or like pink circles on your under your eyes, having a high inflammatory response or allergies. Those are not diagnostic of parasites, but they can sometimes be symptoms. And there are many other symptoms as well, if that's something that you want to look into. I think that it's also important to mention histamines when we're talking about the gut. And I've mentioned those a couple of different times, but histamines are proteins that are responding in the body to basically an inflammatory trigger, but it is part of your immune response. And histamines can cause basically those allergy symptoms that we see a lot of times. And that's where we think of antihistamines for that. But histamines really play a bigger role in the body. And the biggest issue with histamines is not that they're there. They're playing a role to protect your body and to create an immune response when a trigger happens, and that is protecting you. And when your body is not able to break down histamines or histamines become out of control, that's when we have an issue. So there are certain gut bacteria that can cause mast cells, part of the immune response, to release histamine in your gut. We can see that on some of the gut testing that I do a lot of the time. And their parasites can also cause your body to release histamines, like I mentioned. But when you have histamines show up on a test or when you notice a lot of histamine symptoms, then finding out what the cause of those histamines is can be really important. And so much of the time, it does come back to the gut and inflammation in the gut, and kind of that leaky gut picture is often one of the baseline causes. I won't say the only baseline cause. And so when we're talking about histamines, it's important to understand that you need a certain enzyme to break down those histamines, and that is called the DAO enzyme. But that enzyme is dependent on specific minerals and specifically bioavailable copper to work well. And so you need multiple different minerals to make bioavailable copper. You need to have enough magnesium. You need to have enough retinol, which is whole food vitamin A. Whole food vitamin C is a factor as well. There are multiple minerals that need to play a role in being able to have bioavailable copper and being able to break down histamines. And so just, again, I just want to kind of broaden the picture when we're thinking about even inflammation in the gut, that it has to be a full body process and that we do need to be focused on nourishment first and getting those minerals in. And then if you are having trouble absorbing, of course, then that's the time where we need to really focus on supporting your gut lining, supporting good bacteria and your stomach acid and all of those things so that you can be digesting really well. And there are certain nutrients like iodine and bioavailable copper. You can get that just through your food as well. And those type of things are going to help with histamines too. And then when we're talking about hormones, it's important to also realize that histamine symptoms can increase when estrogen increases. And so sometimes when you see a lot of symptoms around ovulation, it is a sign that histamines can be playing a role in some of that inflammation and stress on your body. And that's when, again, I'm always looking back to the gut for the why on those histamine symptoms. So now that you have a lot of ideas of what could be going on in your gut that's maybe causing stress on the body, I want to switch gears and just talk about a few of the simple things that you can do to start working on gut health. And if you're listening to this and thinking like, man, there really is some stuff going on with my gut, I would love to know exactly what's going on. I do offer functional gut testing for my clients, and that looks at bacterial overgrowth. It looks at parasites, like I mentioned, on at least minimal level. It looks at yeast, and it looks to see how your body is digesting food. Is there a lot of inflammation? Are there histamines? Is there leaky gut in the picture? Do you have a good amount of good bacteria, and are they doing the functions they need to do? Do you have enough stomach acid? Do you have enough digestive enzymes? We can look at different markers that kind of give us a big picture of those things and know where to start in supporting your gut and starting to heal it so that you can have less inflammation and more safety in your body for happy hormones. With that being said, if you just want a place to start and just support your gut in general, some of my favorite simple things to start with are, number one, daily bone broth and daily gelatin. And daily bone broth will help with so many things because it has a lot of collagen and gelatin in it. It also is really rich in minerals and it's really soothing. And so you can make your own. I always get asked what brands I like. I like any brand that is organic and has really clean, simple ingredients that you can pronounce. That's going to be my first. I like it to be grass-fed, beef if possible. And then I also really like for flavor. I like chicken broth better than beef. And I like the Kettle and Fire brand. I'm not affiliated with them. I just like the flavor of that brand. And it does tend to be good quality if you're looking to buy broth. It's also really easy to make your own broth. If you just cook a whole chicken and then you use the broth, or if you happen to do steaks or some sort of cut of beef that has bones in it, just save those bones. Anytime you have chicken or beef bones, just save them in the freezer. And you can make a really good broth at home that is really full of gelatin and really nutrient dense and can be basically free because you're already buying the meat in the first place. I mentioned gelatin, and that's really important for your gut as well. One of the easiest ways to get gelatin is just grass-fed gelatin powder. I will link that in the show notes. My favorite one is from Perfect Supplements, and I've been using that for a really long time. I like to use it in several different ways, but it's really important to know that when we're eating only muscle meats, it can be a little bit of a limited amino acid profile and can in large amounts be inflammatory. And so when you're able to get gelatin in conjunction with those muscle meats, it can be really helpful. And so some of my favorite ways to get gelatin are to make just some simple gelatin gummies. It's almost like Jell-O, or you can even bloom just a little bit of gelatin powder and whisk it into things like spaghetti sauce or soups or different things like that. As long as you get it dissolved well, you won't notice it and you'll be getting a little bit of that balance for your gut and just kind of like slipping it in. So gelatin can be super helpful. I would highly also recommend that you just assess the way that you're eating and think about the things that you noticed when I was talking about how digestion is supposed to occur, especially when it comes to chewing or if you're feeling stressed when you're eating or you're standing up eating. And it's really important to think about how you can make some small changes there. So can you do a quick body scan before you eat? And when I say a body scan, what I mean is just like sit still for a second, close your eyes, and just think about how your body feels. Are you holding stress in your shoulders? Are you holding stress in your stomach? Are you holding it in your jaw? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling peaceful? And just taking a few deep breaths or moving your body just in a little bit in a way that you can start to feel more peace as you're sitting there eating. And even seriously, just taking a few deep breaths can help move you out of fight or flight and into rest and digest. And I think that that is pretty self-explanatory, that you need to be in rest and digest to digest your food well, because part of fight or flight is actually slowing down your digestive system on purpose, because you don't need to digest food when you're trying to run from a bear or survive. And unfortunately, we do need to digest food, and sometimes we're kind of stuck in that fight or flight. So take a few deep breaths, scan, like do a little body scan, think about where you're holding stress, if you're holding stress, and release a little bit of that. Then definitely think about chewing your food well and thinking about your food when you're eating it, and it can make a really big difference. Okay, and my last thing that I want to mention for a simple tip for your gut is carrot salad. Now, I know that I've talked about carrot salad about every single episode, and I'm going to keep doing it because carrot salad not only binds to excess estrogen in the gut, it can also bind to endotoxins, which I mentioned earlier, which are those inflammatory compounds from overgrowth bacteria. So if you want a simple way to bind up some of those endotoxins and keep your gut a little more clean, carrot salad is really great. Those carrot fibers, as well as the coconut oil, can be really helpful. And eating things like onions and garlic can also be really good for your gut in kind of a very, very gentle antibacterial way that is not going to kill off all of your good bacteria. And then I just want to remind you again at the end of this episode that nothing is created in a vacuum. So for detoxification to occur well, we need to have open drainage pathways. We need to have good liver function. Our gut needs to be working well, and we need to have the nutrients to do all of those things. And our hormones need all of those things as well to be balanced. And that doesn't mean that we need to feel overwhelmed. We need to feel like we're never going to get there. But what it does mean is that each of these little pieces is going to make a big difference long term. And so you've just got to focus on the step by step and just one thing at a time. And it's really easy to get overwhelmed and in the weeds with all of these, you know, more specific things. But just thinking about what you can do today, how you can support your body today, and making some steps forward is always what I would encourage you to do. And if you are really questioning what those steps are for energy, for gut health, for better periods, then my course, Nourish Your Hormones, is the next place for you to start. I have really, really spent a lot of time creating the step-by-step for you there in a way that is simple and doable, and you have all of the tools and resources that you need, including a 90-page recipe guide. I have a simple carbon protein for all of your lunches and dinners and breakfast. I have a simple carbon protein list that makes things feel a little bit more simple. I have short and sweet handouts for journal prompts and assessing different areas of your lifestyle to improve stress and to improve sleep and improve energy. And I have video modules that are going to walk you through exactly what you need to do in each area that impacts hormone balance. And then you also have a community of other women who are going through the same thing, and you can talk to them and you can ask questions to me and to my team within that community. And I do live coaching in my course only for my students once a month as well. So just know that that resource is available to you. And when and if you are ready, I would love to see you in there and support you and cheer you on and help you not only improve your hormone health and your stress, but your gut health and your detoxification as well. Because as I've mentioned, it all works together and it's all important in creating that long-term hormone balance and getting away from the quick fix mentality and the struggle bus, basically. So I can't wait to see you in there. I hope this episode has been helpful to you, and I will see you next week. Any information shared on this podcast is solely for educational purposes, is not to be taken as medical advice or to be used as a diagnosis or a treatment plan for any medical condition. I'm sharing my educated opinions and experience, but nothing shared here can be taken on a one-size-fits-all basis. We always recommend that you do your own research, talk to your own doctors, and take full informed responsibility for any health and medical choices that you make. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today, for listening, and I hope that you were encouraged and learned something new. If you enjoyed this podcast, would you be willing to share it with a friend and to leave us a review? I believe that every woman deserves to understand her body and feel great in it, and you can help me in this mission by sharing the podcast. If you're also feeling like you're ready for the next step and you're really ready to dive in your hormone journey, my course, Nourish Your Hormones, is created specifically for you. It's a step-by-step blueprint to increase your metabolism, restore energy, and have better periods and mood every single month. I would love to connect with you, so come over and join me on my Instagram page at Leisha Drews and send me a message if you have questions or just want to tell me something that you enjoyed about this episode. I can't wait to meet you.